Greetings through the precious name of Jesus. Of course, the message this morning is for everyone, and all of us can benefit from it, but it is especially for certain ones. And I don't even know who all those certain ones may be, because of what may be happening in your personal life or in the life of your extended family or so on. But the message this morning is a message of comfort for those that are in particular distress. I've titled it God's Care for Our Distress. Sister Jean, the message is for you. And the Bylers and the Brockers. And as I go on with some others that the message may be for, I'm not comparing our little problems here in our daily life with death. I'm not doing that. I mean, I realize when we lose one in the family, that's more than many of us can even think about and have experienced. And so, I'm not trying to compare things here that are equal, because they're not equal. But yet. We all have distresses. And so, Brother Mark Landis, because of your physical diagnosis, you have distress. And it's for you and your wife. It's for the Holsters, and they may not be here this morning, but maybe they're listening in. Daniel Holster's father, as you know, is there in the nursing home, and may not be with us very much longer. And so the message is for the Holsters. And take Jared's, for instance, in their living situation, in their work there in Ukraine, with war close by. I'm sure you've all thought about it, you know, the distress that they must live in there, and many workers that are there, Mennonite and Anabaptist workers that are working there in such a distressing situation. It's just like you're giving your life to the Lord and saying, you know, I want to help. I'm trying to help. I realize, God, this war and this fighting is, you have control, but I'm willing to serve. So they work and live in distressing situations. Wherever you find yourself, and as I said at the very beginning, I realize there are many likely distressing situations that I don't even know about. I mean, I know there would be, of course. In your personal life, in your family life, in your extended family, that you are close to and have to relate to in one way or another. And the distress of it, I may not realize. God's care for our distress, whatever it may be for you this morning. I would invite you for a beginning scripture to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Lest I forget it to give a homework assignment, I'll just give it right now. So if you want to read a number of chapters right together sometime in the future about comfort. The six chapters beginning in Isaiah 40 Isaiah chapters 40 through 45 are all chapters on comfort. So you might want to just read over those sometimes in the future if chapters and words from God on comfort can be a help to you. But anyway, for right now, let's look at Isaiah 43. I want to read the first 21 verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. But I may stop and make a couple comments. But anyway, let me say something right off the beginning here. I underlined created thee in my Bible. We're going to be looking at some verses here in a few moments about the fact that God knows. God knows. And sometimes we think, we feel like maybe we're all alone. But I want to show you from the scripture this morning that God knows. And so it's suggesting that right off the bat here in this first line. God created us. God created you. He knows you very, very well. All about you. Let me begin again. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And I had to put a special mark around that verse in light of what I just said about the first verse. God created us, and I didn't say it, but as you see, it said he formed us. And now we get down to verse 7, and he just keeps emphasizing it. And that is important for you and I to emphasize that in our own hearts and minds this morning, and in the difficult days to come, especially in the lives of some of you. Verse 7, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And so God knows us very, very, very well. And he has us for a purpose. He has us at this time in history for a purpose. We will see as we go on, he will give us strength and grace we need at the particular time we need it, at this time in our lives. Continuing to read verse 8. Bring forth the blind people and that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and I am God. And it's just interesting how he takes some time here to emphasize to the reader, to the listener, who he is. It's good for us to stop and consider that also. Continuing to read verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, our Redeemer, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I mean, he keeps saying in different ways, different words. Are we getting the point? You know, he's emphasizing it so much. Isaiah was doing that by the work of the Holy Spirit as he penned these words for the people in that day. It's here for us today. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And in those last couple of verses 19 and 20, I'm thinking of especially in difficult situations, the Lord makes a way. The Lord gives strength. The Lord gives life. The Lord gives blessings in difficult and unusual situations. Let's turn over back to Job in chapter 23. Back to Job in chapter 23. Of course, you all, most of you know the story of Job and what all is involved in his life and the book itself and the way it's written and what is going on in his life and his counselors and so forth. You understand that. In chapter 23 of Job, just a few verses, just verses 8 to 12. Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. Now, before I read the next two verses, may I comment? So we just read in Isaiah, the mercy of the Lord, the fact that he will uphold us, he will strengthen us. In difficult times, he's there. He made us, he understands us. And now we have Job. And in his distress, in his various distresses that he encountered in his life, on one side of the coin, in certain times of his life, in certain situations, this in reality is what he was thinking. The couple of verses I just read, verses 8 and 9. Now, God, where are you? I'm in a difficult situation, and I wish I could, like, touch you or something. I wish I could see you. I need you, God. Behold, I go forward, and he is not there, and backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, and I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right, and I cannot see him. Now look at the next two verses. Verse 10. But he knoweth. Did I say that already this morning? God knows. And we'll look at a group of verses here in a few moments about God knowing. And Job knew. Job knew in his difficult and distressing situations, he knew he was wise enough and close enough to God that he knew that God knew. Verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, and his way have I kept and not declined. Verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And especially for those of you that are in particular special distress this morning because of things going on in your life. If I can say probably one thing, and that is the middle of that verse 12, stay close to the word. Listen to the voice of God. God will speak. God does speak. God is speaking through his word, through his Holy Spirit to your needs. The middle of verse 12, Job said in these stressful situations that he found himself, Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, the words of the mouth of God, more than my necessary food. Let's look at a little prayer in the Psalms. Psalm 17 it is. Psalm 17. The first nine verses of Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer. So this is a prayer, and may we learn from this prayer in our difficult situations. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. A proper prayer, a beautiful prayer for God to be near and to keep this psalmist in difficult situations. And you know full well, knowing the life and story of David, he had many distressing situations in his life. Keep me, verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. May that be the prayer of many of you that are in distressing and distressful situations. Now, before I said we'd look at some verses about the fact that God knows. And all the verses that I look at, it's just a group of verses in Psalms, and I'll just take them right in the order they come in the Psalms. All of them do not have the word know or known in them, but some of them do. But all of them, obviously, God does know because of what he says. But before we look at those verses on the fact that God knows, let me just read you a little story. Concerning the idea of this is to help us see that the necessity of certain pain. Why God allows pain. It's very short, but children, you can understand this. All of us can. A little girl by the name of Beverly Smith, and she was born in Akron, Ohio, and she cried very little. She didn't cry when she fell down or bumped her head or burned her hand. She didn't cry. She had a defect in her central nervous system with no known cure. She could not feel pain. Now, many of you already realize, you know, that that's not good. If you can't feel pain, if you can't feel, that's not good. You know, this was her at a very young age. She could not feel pain. She might break a bone. She wouldn't feel pain. She might get appendicitis. She wouldn't feel pain. You can understand already, again, how dangerous that would be, that she couldn't feel pain and would be in very bad situations, but didn't realize it, couldn't realize it. Spanking her would do no good because she couldn't feel pain. Now, children, that's not good. you understand that? That would not be good if she couldn't feel pain. Life without pain, of course, would be continually dangerous. It was for this little girl, and it is for us also. The Lord allows and sends trials and distresses and afflictions. And he has his own purposes. Sometimes we understand the purposes, sometimes we may not. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have a purpose for the pain and for the distress. But on top of that, God knows. You see, God knows. So let's just look at some of these verses. A couple of the verses we've already looked at this morning. I mentioned that God knows, of course. But I just picked out some verses here. And like I say, I'll give them right in order they come in the Psalms. First one is in Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And it's verse 7, Psalm 31:7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. So that verse there actually uses two words that mean just what I'm saying. God knows. Thou hast considered my trouble. So there, God knows my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. God knows. The writer there was saying that for his own good and for his own comfort and for us today, for our comfort this morning. God knows. God has considered our trouble. God knows our distresses, our adversities, as it's listed here. God knows. That in itself brings me comfort. I trust it brings you comfort. Turn over a little further to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I want to read verses 4 to 9 of Psalm 34, beginning at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So, first of all, God heard. God knew who I was. God knew that I had a reason to cry to him, to seek him, and so he listened. God knows, you see. And delivered me from all my fears. God knew that I had fears. He knew that, and he delivered me from them. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Again, God knew the person. God heard his cry. God knew that. He heard him. He knew his troubles. He knew them, and he saved him from them. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I could repeat, again, just what I've already said. God knew the fear. He delivered. He sent his angel. He knew the situation. He knew it. And he sent his angel to take care of it. Verse 8 and 9. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you believe? Will you confess? Do you have faith and trust to know that the Lord is good and he has your best in mind? He may sometimes bring us distress and pain for our good and for things that will be helpful to us that we may not always understand. You want to be blessed? Then put your trust in that God and in his ways. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. God will meet all our needs. There will be no lack if we take the situation, turn it over to God, and allow him to minister to us by his mercy and comfort in these distressing situations. God knows. Yes, he does. In Psalm 37, over a page, to Psalm 37, just two verses. It's verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 37. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We see the knowledge of God in the first line of verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God knows you. He knows your steps. He knows what steps he wants you to take. But we're human. And difficult things come. We live in a fallen world. And so the beginning of verse 24 is going to be a reality. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Because why not? Because the Lord knows. Because the Lord knows you. He knows the situation. He knows the world we're living in. He will not be utterly cast down because the Lord is there to uphold him, to hold him up. The Lord will give his hand to us and help us through this distress because he knows. Over a few pages to number 46, Psalm 46. The first verse, 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How can he be our refuge and strength? Because he knows us and he knows our trouble. Both. Therefore, he is the best one and he will be our refuge and strength. He knows and he can be. He will be. Psalm 50. Two verses in Psalm 50, and they are verses 14 and 15. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. You see, he knows. You in trouble, you in distress. I knew that before you did. You know, I knew your trouble. I knew your distress was coming before you did. I was prepared to help you in distress, and I will. Call unto me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Through it all, I will be glorified, and you'll be helped. Over a little further to number 55, Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and one verse, and it's verse 22. 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I have to tell you, every time I read that verse, it reminds me of the oratorio Elijah. And the song in that large piece of music, the little short song that is sung just before the Lord sends fire down onto Elijah's offering. So if I could quickly go through it. Children, I guess I remember going over this story in Sunday school or Bible school, and of course we all know it. by the way, the song is in the back of our songbooks, and sometimes we sing it. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But you know the story of Elijah, that time when he was had this contest, as it were, sometimes it's called a contest, with the prophets of Baal. And he said, we'll see who will send fire down onto our altars. And so he had the prophets of Baal to build this altar, and they readily built this altar. And they thought if they called out in a proper way to their God, that their gods would send fire down on this altar. And they prepared their altar and the animals and what all, I'm not sure what all was on the altar. And then the prophets of Baal began crying out to their gods. And nothing happened, of course. And they cried and nothing happened. And they cut themselves with knives and they did all kinds of things. And they called louder. And Elijah kind of mocked them and made fun of them, actually, to try to help. It was actually to preach to them, to help them see that, no, this will not work. To get their attention, as it were. Of course, no fire ever came to their altar. Then Elijah built his altar. And you know the story, just to make sure that everybody knew there was no fire there, put there by any man, he dumped many barrels of water on the altar and all around the altar and so forth. And then he started praying to God, not just to send fire, but to help these dear people, these idol-worshiping people, understand that you are the true God. And he prayed for a while. And then now I go to the oratorio, this big song of Elijah and his life. The writers, Felix Mendelssohn and whoever helped him put this thing together, they decided then to put in, just before the fire falls onto the altar, they decided to put in Psalm 55:22. And so the chorus then sings. Can you imagine now? Elijah has prayed to God. He's getting ready to ask God to send the fire. Can you imagine the feeling of Elijah at that time? God, will you do this? Will you actually show these idol worshipers who you really are by sending fire? God, I'm asking you to show them by sending fire to this altar. Can you imagine how he may have been feeling just before that happened? And so in the oratorio, in his song, in this piece of music, the chorus sings at that point, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then the next part of the song is, Elijah says, God, send the fire down to show these people who you are. And immediately the fire comes from heaven and burns the offering and licks up the water and everything. You know the story, of course. Dear people in special distress this morning, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If I could tell another little happening, something that I read that makes a good illustration. This was at a textile factory. Younger ones, you understand, textile is material, cloth. And most material or cloth is made out of many, many tiny threads woven, interwoven together to make a big piece of cloth. So the machines that make this cloth, this material, this fabric, has many threads running from spools through this machine to come out on the other side as cloth. You can only imagine. So the instructions at this textile factory were something like this. If your threads get tangled, call the supervisor. In other words, call your boss if your threads get tangled. One lady's threads that was operating the machine, this lady was operating this machine, by the way, it could have been a man too, but anyway, the threads on her machine got tangled. And she tried to disentangle them, but only made them worse. She finally called her supervisor, and he said, "You've been trying to untangle these yourself, right?" "Yes," she said. "Why didn't you call me?" She said, "Well, I did my best." And his reply was, "Remember, doing your best is calling me." "Call unto me and I will answer thee," the Lord says. We can't fix our distress ourselves. We never will, but God is there to fix it for us, to give us strength, to comfort us, to help us. "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you." Let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We looked at a few verses earlier in the beginning or middle part of this psalm. Now I want to look at the verses at the end of this psalm, Psalm 34, beginning at verse 15. Verse 15. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." I want to bring this to a conclusion by looking at one other psalm. And we will see in this psalm the importance of worship and fellowship with God. The promise of blessing and strength and grace as we give ourselves to worship and fellowship with God. So it is Psalm 84. Let's turn to that, Psalm 84. Psalm 84. As I read over this and considered it, I put a check beside various verses, and I might not necessarily point out all of them to you, but you can check them yourselves, or the ones that speak especially to you in your time of need. But my idea here, my point is the importance and the need of worship and fellowship with this Almighty God, this Creator God that knows you very well, and to have that close relationship with Him, for you to get through and to deal with these distressing situations that you may find yourself in. Psalm 84, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. So you see there, he uses blessed what at least three times in this psalm. And so if that's what you want, then pay attention to what he's saying here. Why is he blessed? If you want to be blessed, then take heed to God's word here. So blessed, verse 4, are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Those that have a close relationship, those that worship him, that fellowship with him. He's using the physical words here, maybe the physical house of the Lord, but I believe he's referring to that worship and fellowship with him as he speaks this way. Now verse 5, and it begins again with the word blessed. Is that you? Is that what you want? That's what I want. I believe you want that too. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Verse 6, who passeth through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer and give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You know, I didn't give you any verse to put up on your bathroom mirror or your refrigerator yet this morning. But maybe the last two verses that I read there, verse 11 and 12, would be good ones. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I'll just read you one little short verse from the Apostle Paul to close. And this is for all of us to be there for each other. Yes, to be there for each other in these distressing times that may be happening in your lives. It's Galatians 6:2, and it says this, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're here for each other. We need each other. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're going to close this morning by singing number 333. 333 of the song leader will come and lead us.